Every time I sing it, I enjoy singing it because it speaks to me every time, and I love it. It makes me feel, you know, to stand up sometimes and ask for, you know, ask for forgiveness if I have ever offended, you know, any of you. Sometimes we don't even realize it, right? And we do it, and if I have offended any of you, you know, during you have known me, please forgive me.
He was one of the 12 who followed Jesus. Everywhere he went to preach the word, he was the man trusted as the treasurer, and we with Jesus of the same bread. But one day treason filled his heart, and the love for money made him blind. And for just a few miserable cause, with a kiss, our Savior was betrayed. Judas, there is no price for what you done. Sorrow will be the cause of such a treason. For such ingratitude, and for you have betrayed the one that gave you love. Is the image of my Jesus on my brethren? Is the love and the trust of my Lord? I shall never shall them nor betray them. They are temple of the Spirit of my God. If I gave away my treasures and possessions, or I die protecting all the world, all the things are useless, they are meaningless. They are nothing if in my heart there's no love. You, that there is no pride for what you done. Sorrow will be the cause of such a treason. For such ingratitude, and for you have the one that gave you love.
God bless you.
Are you getting this through? Okay, I wasn't sure if I could hear it. Well, welcome this morning. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Kids can head off to Sunday school and enjoy Sunday school hour. Did I say hour? Oh, sorry. You know, I always look at all the things that come around this weekend, and it's been a beautiful weekend. I tell you, the Friday Good Morning service we had was wonderful. And for all those of you who came, it was just a real treat to gather along Long Sioux Pentecostal Church with us and of course, other guests and visitors we had with us. And it was a great time that we just shared together and had the breaking of bread, the communion at the front here, just acknowledging and praising God for dying upon the cross for us. And then Friday night, wow, I was so blessed at that drama presentation. Thank you, Miles, for writing that all up and directing it and putting it into place. And every time I see the dramas, I just keep saying, they're getting better and better and better every time. And I just thank God. The Holy Spirit is just working through those dramas, and it's beautiful. Every one of the ones in our presentation were great. I love the voice of Peter and Pontius. He did a real good job. And Gail, wow, when you were doing Mary Magdalene, like I was sitting there and I could feel, I almost felt the tears welling up in my eyes. So thank you for the, it's hard to put yourself into somebody else's shoes and to draw their lines and to feel the attitude that they would have gone through and to represent them to others. I think that must be the hardest thing to do is to get that across. And so I really appreciate these dramas that are coming. I can hardly wait for Christmas now. And they're already putting that together. Miles has got it going, and it's going to be a great time. Won't tell you what's going to happen, but it's going to be a great one. Amen. I just heard some rumors of some of the things. Anyway, I know that I always ask our worship team to do special numbers up here at the front, and like I have a lot of my favorites and stuff like that, you know, and I try to tell them that, but there's one that I haven't heard for a long, long time. I don't think we've done it in this church since I've been here. It's number 463 in your hymnals. There's no music, but we can sing it a cappella this morning, okay? So, I mean, I've got to get this off my chest, okay? This is one of my favorites, and so this is one of the resurrection songs, number 463 in your hymnals. It just simply entitled Christ Arose, okay? Are you ready? Hopefully I can get a good key for us all to go. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Is that the first time anybody's heard that song? For some of you? Amen. Well, we've got to do another verse then, just for you. Amen. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Boom, boom, boom. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. I've almost got my fill. Could I do the third? Is that okay? Praise God. Death cannot keep his prayer, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Boom, 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 boom. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah. Christ arose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now I feel better. I feel I can preach now, okay? Hallelujah. Well, welcome to this Resurrection Sunday. If you would turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Thank you, Jesus. He's alive again. The stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the world rejoice. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you there? Matthew chapter 28. I've got the words up here for those who are Bible-less. Okay. Matthew chapter 28. Reading from the New King James Version. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him. They said that they were asleep, I thought. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Aren't you glad that they ran and took the word? Aren't you glad that somebody brought the word to us? Aren't you glad that somebody came and ran to us and presented the Lord Jesus Christ, prayed over us, witnessed to us, talked to us, and brought the gospel message to us? Our eyes were blind, our eyes were closed, our ears were stuffed up. We couldn't believe, we couldn't conceive that there was a Savior that would love us that much, but somebody told us, and the Holy Spirit came in, removed those stuffings from our ears and all the earwax and everything else that was spiritually in there, and opened our eyes so that we could see that Jesus Christ was alive, and we opened our eyes and we believed in our heart, and we said, thank you, God. Never saw it like this, never saw it like this, but I want to open my heart right now and receive you as Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, we felt a change in our heart and our life and our mind, our everything that we did. Thank God that somebody ran and brought the word to us. Amen? Praise God. You know, I look at this, and remember those two that were on the Emmaus Road? You could read about in that Luke chapter 24. The two were just walking along, and all of a sudden Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared alongside them, and they just thought they were talking to a stranger. And it says that at the very end, they rose up at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, those who were there gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he's known to them, the breaking of bread. The Lord Jesus is our bread, our manna, the breaking of bread to our lives. Amen. You know, I looked at this word resurrection, and it is an interesting word. In matter of fact, in the Greek, there's two words in the New Testament that represent resurrection. There's egersis and there's anastasis, two Greek words. Egersis is a resurgence from death. It's a resurrection. Anastasis is a standing up again, a literal resurrection from death, recovery, raised to life again, rise from the dead. And so as we look at these things and understand that there's a rising, standing up, a bringing back to life, there's this actual resurrection power that God has in his hands, a resurrection power that he distributes to those who are ready for such a resurrection as he loved to give to us. You know, I love the Bible. This is one powerful book. You know, I'm always, as a pastor, coming to the Sundays and trying to bring a word to you. And every time I come to seasons like this at Easter and Christmas and Pentecost Sunday and any other special biblical time like these that we have, I go through a real battle. I deal with some things with the thought that the congregation, you know, as I come to Resurrection Sunday, I think you've heard this before. You've heard something about the resurrection, I'm sure. You've gone through many sermons, perhaps somebody's told you. You've sat in churches on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday. You've heard many, many, many messages before. And so as I go through this battle, I think that, you know, I don't want to bring back the same old, the same old, the same old. I want something to come into our hearts and our lives. And so I battle with these kind of things, because if you've been a Christian for any length of time, this is just the same thing when you come to Resurrection Sunday. But then as I'm sitting in my office and I go through these things, then the Holy Spirit deals with me in this, that as I feel in my heart these things that he wants to say, that what we have here in our hands is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. And so you and I cannot treat it as something like ho-hum. We cannot come and be bored by something that we've perhaps heard about before. And we must understand that every time we read a verse in the Word of God, God speaks to us. It doesn't matter if you read that verse two times. It doesn't matter if you've read it five times. It doesn't matter if you've read that verse 100 times. God will speak to each and every one of us every time we read his word. And so if you had been lied to by the devil and say, well, I've read that verse before, I don't want to go to that again, I've read over that before, don't listen to that lie, because God has got something in store for you that day, something fresh from the word of God, and you need to get there. So when I open the Bible to really any particular verse, we must understand that if we're to really dissect the word, then we should be here really for a long, long time, right? If we were really to get into the Word of God, we would be here for a long, long time. And if that is the case, and I believe it is, then if we were here a lengthy time each time we meet every Sunday from reading any verse of the Bible, then preach on it, and also add it to this, that if I exhaust that one verse on any given Sunday, and then you add up the 52 Sundays that we're here each Sunday of the year, that means 52 verses of Scripture that we look at. Isn't that great? 52 verses of Scripture. Will we ever hit the same thing of the Master teaching us and dealing with us? Why, sure we will. We'll get back to those things. But take into this into consideration. If I preached on any given verse from this powerful book, the Bible, I could also preach on it again next Sunday and you get something new. I could preach on it the Sunday after next Sunday and you'd still get something new. Because that's what the Word of God is. It's powerful. Every Sunday we come, and saying all that to conclude and to bring us to this point, that when we come to Resurrection Sunday, when we come to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, let us not think because we've heard that verse before and have heard messages on that verse before that we just may close our eyes and our minds and shut ourselves down like a computer does when you put it to sleep. You know, I don't want any computers going to sleep today. I don't want you to put it into kind of a mode where you're kind of like idle. I don't want to go into anything else this morning. I want us to be fresh, open, wide awake, and ready to receive from God. Could you do that this morning? I am sure the enemy loves it when we think ho-hum about the messages from the Word of God or any verse from the Bible. And also the enemy would like to drop into our thinking about that, I've heard this before. Where have you ever heard that speaking into your heart and your life? That is not from God. It's not from God. When we say that or we think that, I've heard this before, I've read that scripture before, that is not from God. It's not from God. You know, sometimes we get to the place, and I've heard of, I remember my earlier years as a pastor, and some of the I was going to say old fogies, but I don't want to say that. Some of the old Christians used to come up to me sometimes. Here, I thought I preached my heart out and did my best and everything else. They come up and say, good job, Pastor, but I've heard that before. Wow, how to take the wind out of your sails. You know, and you think of all that, you know, it's like, you know, Pastor, you can't tell me anything new. You know, and when we get to that place in our walk with Jesus, I say, Holy Spirit, shake them. Shake them. Somehow they've been lulled to sleep. Somehow they've been put in a stupor. Somehow they've got their eyes open but really closed. I believe that we should come to the Word of God and get so excited. When we come to His Word, it should create in us an overflowing well of excitement springing up to life, 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 life. You know, I love the scripture in Philippians. I'm sure that you've heard many messages on these verses. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Anybody ever read those verses before or heard a message or two on these verses? I mean, it's possible because you've been around for a few years in your Christianity. Anybody get saved last week? Maybe you haven't heard this then. But as I look at this, many preach on this on this Sunday. I believe that probably these two verses, somewhere across this nation of Canada, somewhere perhaps in this North American continent, somebody's opening up these two verses and they're preaching on it, if not preaching on it, at least mentioning it. And so I thought I would fill in with the whole North American continent and give you these two verses this morning too. Is that okay? Many preach on this verse. So what I'm saying that I could indeed preach on these verses for weeks, if not months. And I'm not saying that to my benefit or how good I am as a pastor or anything else. It's just that I look at the Word of God, and there's so much that so often that we look at the Word of God and miss. We miss it. We gloss over. We get to the place, well, I've seen it before, I've read it before, and we miss it. So as I look at that, and Paul is saying, that I mean, you could take those two words, and Paul is addressing the fact of where he is. I feel so defunct in my life, and I feel so inadequate in my life, if that I could find him, if I could get to that place in my life, and I could spend a day just on that very topic. And then I went down to those two words, may know. Wow. That I may know. Everybody thinks, well, I know it all. I've come to that place, and my Christian walk is, I'm there. Paul, who's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, leader of the Jews, converted on a Damascus road. He said, that I may know. I haven't got to that place yet. I don't know everything. That I may know. Not kind of far off or a distant relation, that I may know and come under the understanding and the knowledge and the walk and the distribution of the Holy Spirit, that I may go deep in the knowledge of him. And then you get to that word, him. Who is him? Jesus. I mean, you could start dissecting these verses and you could go deep, deep, deep in these things. Who is this him? Him who is this? That I could actually know some. Tell me about him. Tell me more about him. I want to go deep in his life. I want to know what he thinks about, what his attitude is and situations that he faced, because I go through things in my life. How did he face this? What did he say? How did he do it? How did he handle it? I want to know him. Because he's our everything, Jesus. And then I get to those words, and the power. Oh, I tell you, we could spend days on these verses. The power. What will the power be? What does it look like? What will it do in me? Is it for me? Is it for everyone? What kind of power? We know about power. We have all kinds of instances of power in this world. But this is the same power that we think of in secular terms, as we always get it in our way, the secular term of thinking of power. But this is not the power that Paul is talking about in secular terms. He's talking about something very, very spiritual here. It's beyond and above all of us. And then he gets down to the power of his resurrection. Wow. What did he do? How did he do it? What does it mean? What does it mean for him? What does it mean for me? We could go through all kinds of things. And on we could go in these verses and probably back up and again, start over and still get something fresh and new. We could just keep going over this verse over and over. And then we start getting testimonies rolling out in church. And we could have a real great time in church today on Resurrection Sunday. I really believe that. You get deep into the Word and God, you just get lost in spiritual things. You get lost in spiritual things. I like it when we get deeper into spiritual things. How about you? So are you getting the picture? I mean, this is what pastors and preachers go through when we read verses. How can I bring something on this Resurrection Sunday? How can I bring something out that would bring you to a place that is going to drive us deeper, each one of us, drive us deeper into the things of God? What could I say today? What could I do? Holy Spirit, what could we do in this place today just by using me as an element here at this pulpit, but really encouraging, inspiring every one of us to go deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said he wanted to know that I may know. Many ways of knowing something. You know, when it comes to Jesus, his word, his resurrection, his sufferings, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, to the walk that you and I have in Jesus, to the prayer life that we have in Jesus, this is what we should desire to know. The Greek word to know is gnosis. And that's an interesting word. You know, I like all the kind of the knowledge that we have in this world of knowing. You know, we could know somebody historically. When we read in a history book, we read back about them, and in the history book, it tells us all about that person, and it's kind of nice. I love history. I love going back. I like when we were in Hawaii, we're listening to some of the history of how Hawaii was formed and all the islands there, every place you go. I used to enjoy when we were living up in Mississauga, talking to some of the immigrants who came to Canada and talking to them. So what happened in your country? Why are you here? But like, what is the past? And they would kind of give me history of their nations. I mean, I'll probably never get to those places, but it was kind of nice to listen to their things about how they found them. So I like history and getting into history. You can know a person historically. You can also know somebody contemporarily. We read about people in the news, and so contemporary, we hear about them. We hear the news about them. We hear things about them. We could also know somebody contactually. We could contact that person. We could call them on the phone and talk to them on the phone. I don't know if you've ever met Queen Elizabeth. She would probably walk by in a row and kind of you would curtsy or bow, whatever you would do, and she would go by and you would say, hey, I get to meet the Queen. I can remember when I was a little boy, she came to Aurelia, her and Prince Philip. They just kind of went through the whole area. Or Prince Charles? Prince Philip. Who's her husband? Prince Philip, yeah. There's so many princes all over the place, I never know anyway. I can remember when I was a little boy, they came through Aurelia, and my parents wanted to see the Queen go by in her limousine and all that. And so like we were sitting there for hours and hours for a little kid to sit there for hours, you know, like, where's the parade? Like, you know, where's the clowns and everything else? You want some excitement. You're waiting, waiting. Everybody's got little chairs and everything else lined up, sitting on the curb, waiting for this limousine to go by. And all of a sudden, there it comes by. And I see this hand out. And everybody said, we got to see the Queen. You know, we got to see the Queen. I said, was that the Queen? Okay. If we've got to see her, that we got to see her. And so you can maybe shake hands with the Queen or curtsy or bow. You could maybe shake hands with Justin Trudeau or some dignitary or anything else, but you don't get to know them. You've met them. You've just shaken the hand. But to know somebody personally is something beyond all things. That's what Paul wanted to get to the place of knowing. He wanted to get to the place of what makes this Savior of mine tick? What brings him? What brings me to his mind? And what's his ways? What's his feelings, his reactions, his disposition? And that's why Paul wanted to know Jesus, his Lord. How many today don't want to listen to the enemy lie to us but want to know Jesus in a deeper way? Do you want to go deep in the Lord and climb higher in him? Amen. We should all want to do that. And so let me just, as we get into this morning, let me pray. Father, I pray as we're talking about the resurrection, here we are as Christians, and I pray that if somebody has not given their heart to you, I pray this morning, Lord, that they've already sensed something, that you're already dealing with them, that this is something that they need to know Jesus. Because knowing Jesus opens up so much to us. It's beautiful in knowing Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for us as Christians here. We're so grateful for all you've done for us, dying upon a cross and going through all that you faced just for us. It's hard to believe, hard to understand. And then to be laid in a tomb and then to rise from the grave. Wow, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. So God, as we think about the resurrection the next few moments, that God, you would stir our hearts again. And if any have been dulled to the word, I pray awaken them. Any just kind of said, I've heard so many Resurrection Sunday sermons that God, awaken. Awaken this morning. Awaken, Holy Spirit. Awaken this morning, Holy Spirit. Awaken, bring to life somebody who's in not a confines of a stone grave, but yet they are in a grave. And I say, awaken this morning. Awaken them, Lord God. Bring us to life. Bring us to life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So as I open the Bible and I speak words and I come as a pastor to challenge us all, I will encourage, I will try to inspire, I will try to say things. But how many get the picture that if you want to go deeper, if you want to go deeper, and if you want to climb higher in Jesus, it's not about me. It's about you, what you want to do and how far you're going to go. So I just kind of like at a tennis match, you know, when the ref comes over and just gives them the ball and they go out in the tennis court and play with it. Well, this morning, I'm just passing the ball. The ball is in your court. If you want to go deep in Jesus, you want to climb high in Jesus, it's really up to you. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? So we're all running here today. We're all running. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you're going to get it. Run in such a way that you're going to find more about Jesus is really what Paul is trying to get across. So today I'm talking about the resurrection. Is that okay? Anybody ever heard about the resurrection? I knew I was going to be talking to people who've heard about this before. But do we fully understand and know and have a deep, basic understanding of what Jesus did? As we read in all four Gospels that Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the grave, his flesh and blood body came to an end of life. It came to an end. Just like each and every one of us, our life, unless we are raptured from this world, all of our lives will come to an end. And that's not something to inspire you and encourage you today, but we are coming to an end, okay? What, you mean no more Tim Hortons coffee? Yes, no more Tim Horton's coffee. We will experience something. His body, Jesus, came to a distinct and a very clear end. He did die. There's a lot of stuff going around these days that Jesus just did this kind of a transcendental meditation. Went into some stupor for 3 days. I don't know. I want to let you know, Dr. Luke, was there. I mean, they didn't have those sheets of paper, a declaration of death or anything like that that they would sign back then, but I'm sure that Dr. Luke was very thorough in this. He had followed this Savior for a while, and I'm sure that Dr. Luke wanted to make sure this was not just some transcendental meditation or something else. It was phony and hocus-pocus and all that kind of stuff. I want to let you know, Jesus did die. His body died. His body gave up the ghost. His heart stopped. He stopped breathing. His spirit was no longer in that body. Did you hear that? His spirit was no longer in that body. That body. It was dead. It was a corpse. A shell. It was the body that Jesus came down and took upon flesh. That's all it was. It was a body. It was a flesh that was gone. It was a corpse of Jesus. It was a dead, lifeless body. It was taken to a tomb. And may I add that it's depicted that to us in Isaiah chapter 53, really in a sense beyond recognition because of all the torture, the whipping and the beating and the abuse that Jesus took in those hours before he was ever hung upon a cross. Somebody that you could never, ever recognize. I mean, perhaps they switched bodies. Kind of like, you know, in the Hollywood, they just have the second person that comes in and fills in for the person that doesn't want to do the stunts, like a stuntman. No, he did die. Nobody else jumped in and carried all the blood and all the whipping marks and everything else. That was Jesus upon the cross. That was Jesus upon the cross. And he went through all those things. The spear in his side, the dead body was there. The dead body. Said dead body. Dead body. And then in Matthew chapter 27, just in case you don't believe that, it says, now when evening had come, Matthew 27, verse 57, now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Asked for the body of Jesus. And then Pilate commanded the body be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it, the body, in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. That's where the dead body was laid, in that rich man's tomb. A detailed description of events about the body of Jesus. Just in case you weren't informed about this, but Jesus did die, and they looked after the body. Joseph of Arimathea took the lifeless body of Jesus, did all the preparation of what would normally have been done with a Jewish body, with the dead, lifeless body, and then he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, it says, and laid his body totally lifeless and dead in the tomb, a new tomb, not a place where others had been laid, but a new tomb, just like the scriptures had said. It was hewn out of the rock, and after this dead, lifeless body of Jesus was placed in this tomb, there was a huge stone that was rolled into place to secure that grave. Now, Betty and I were in Israel, and they showed us many of the places where actually the rocks were hewn out, and there was a place in there, and they would put a huge rock in front of the graves. I mean, probably because of the stench that would be caused. And so they would seal that up as best they could. They would keep that stench away, but they wanted to make sure that they looked after their loved ones. You know, when you think of this whole scenario about this grave and everything else, I mean, this is a fulfillment of two key prophecies from the Bible. One by Isaiah himself. In Isaiah 53, it says, "For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked." They made his grave with the wicked. "But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." But there's a second prophecy that also was fulfilled by Jesus himself when we get to his death. He says this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He prophesied about his own death. You read about that again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." And then when they had Jesus before all the Sanhedrin and the religious officials and so forth, and they brought false witnesses forward, and the false witnesses said this in chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 60, "Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, 'This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Doesn't sound false to me. That's exactly what Jesus said. Now, here's the point of all that prophecy gave us, and all the prophecies that Jesus gave us, because now we must go to some teaching about all that happened in the Gospels. We've got the prophecy, now we got to get to the teaching. If and when we believe that Jesus died, was laid in a grave, but when he rose again on the third day, then we are now open to what the full gospel is all about. You and I have received the full gospel. You and I have received Christmas and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We've got the full gospel. And I like what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, because he wanted to make sure that the full gospel got out there. Because a lot of people confess Jesus Christ, they don't believe anything else. A lot of people can say a prayer, it's just walk out of a church and never believe anything else. It's a deep, deep life in Jesus. Listen to what Paul had to say here in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 9. He said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus... Okay, you got that? "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead." Did you get that? A lot of people can confess, but I don't know if I can really believe that Jesus rose from the grave. That's what Paul was saying to the church of Rome. He wanted to make sure this teaching got across. We need to make sure that it gets across to you and I today. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the conclusion is you will be saved. Hallelujah. So do you believe today? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, that he came into this world, that he was taken upon this body, he lived in this flesh and blood body. But not only do I confess that Jesus came into this world, but I believe that Jesus rose from the grave, that he had conquered death in that very place, and he rose from that very place. I believe in my heart. That's salvation. That's the salvation message. And this tells me that there's got to be a belief in who Jesus is as the Son of God. There must also be a belief in our hearts that God the Father has raised Jesus from the dead, that the Father took the lifeless body and placed the spirit of Jesus back into that lifeless body, back into a now a glorified body, and raised him to life again. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I love the gospel message. Are you getting bored yet? I sure am not. It's not the same old, is it? Something fresh. I mean, do you really believe this? Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? If you have, then you will be saved. That's the salvation formula, I guess, if we could call that. I can hardly wait to experience all this in reality, though. I like reading about it. I like talking about it. I love preaching about it. But I can hardly wait to experience. You know, when I first came into salvation and Betty told me about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I said, Betty, you've got something I don't have. And so I just kind of went along with her, went to church. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't. But it was there. I went to the gospel message. I went to the book of Acts. I went through all the John 14, 15, and 16. Started reading about the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, this is in the book. How come I don't have it? So I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. I said, I don't have this. I want it, I want it, I want it. And I can remember one night I just turned up. Betty and I were lying in bed, and I said, Betty, that's it. Could you put your hand on my forehead and begin to pray for me? And she put her hand over on me, and she says, what am I praying for? I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I was just laying there in bed, and all of a sudden she just kind of put her hand on my forehead. I felt the heat burning on my body, and I just said, oh, shut up, koshendarabashi. And I started praising the Lord in tongues and just got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Now we are equal in this marriage. Now we can walk in that strength and the power that you want us to be, because I was holding us back because I saw something that I didn't have yet, and I wanted to go deeper and deeper and deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to go deeper in Jesus and climb higher? If somebody else has got something and you don't have it, get hungry for it. Get hungry for it. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So I'm waiting for the experience. I'd love to be raptured. I mean, there's not too many people that have experienced the rapture. Elijah? Enoch? Well, they couldn't find Moses' body, so let's let him be in there too. I mean, to be raptured, that'd be a blast for sure. That'd be the ultimate, a lot of people, they go down to Wonderland for some of those cyclone rides and they've got how many roller coasters and things there? They want to get on there for the time of their life. Oh, the thrill. You get turned upside down in every which way, and you come up and you vomit. You know, I think that's cool. Paul said, and we're going to be raptured one day, and we're going to eat. Amen? We're going to eat. Hallelujah. I can hardly wait for that. And should we not be raptured, we will all die a death, like Jesus. I mean, not all the pain and the whippings and all that he went through, but others like us gone on before us. Our physical bodies will come to a conclusion. The heart will stop. The lungs will stop breathing. We will have this life terminated as we now know it. It will end. And we will be put in a grave. I hope you believe in burial. I personally believe in burial. I know that there's a lot of people that have said, well, I'm going to be cremated, and that's fine. That's your choice and everything else. But I look through the Bible. The Bible has the precedent of burial, right from Genesis to Revelations, burial. My Jesus was buried. The catacombs was a place where they laid all the bodies of the Roman people. Remember, the Romans would take the Christians, put them on the torch poles, and light their garden parties and everything else for them. They'd burn them all up. But the disciples, they quickly, if there anybody died, they grabbed their bodies and took them down to the catacombs and made sure they didn't play havoc with the bodies. They buried them in there. Now, I'm not in no way to wish to put any guilt on anybody that's had a loved one cremated or anything else, but it's our choice. For me, I choose burial. That's my choice. But I can hardly wait to experience the power of the resurrection. You know, I think I've told you this before, but I talked to a funeral director at one time, and he told me that, you know, it used to be in the cemeteries that when there was a strong belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would bury bodies with the feet towards the east. And I would say, why do they do that in cemeteries? He said, because we believe in the resurrection day, that they're going to rise and they're going to be facing the east, Jerusalem, and the resurrection bodies will come out. And I thought that was kind of cool. You know, that's kind of a neat concept. But I believe that in all of us, I say, thank God for not only you and I being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but believe in the very fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was resurrected, returned to life, and our leader is overcoming the grave. Hallelujah. Many do not believe in Jesus for sure. They do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? You know, you go through the Bible, this is not something new where people don't believe in Jesus coming back to life. If you were to go over to Acts chapter 23 and when Paul was arrested and standing before all these dignitaries and everything else, it's kind of interesting because in our day and age, we would call those people very liberal-minded the way they thought. We would call them liberal-minded. And it says, when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, am I being judged?" And when he had said this, a dissension rose amongst all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So he caused mass confusion. Isn't that cool? To all those liberal-minded people. And then Paul warned Timothy about those who spiritualize everything and try to write everything and all these false teachers. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase the more to ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." They are trying to belittle it and put it away. There is no resurrection. Oh, if there is, it's gone. They tried to belittle it. And then there was people who scoffed at those very things of the resurrection. Back with Paul on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this issue.' They laughed at the resurrection. And all the religious people, when Jesus started talking about being raised the third day, all the religious people of that day, it says the same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to and asked him, 'Well, then, we'll throw out a question to you, Jesus. Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. What do you say to that?'" They were testing him because they didn't believe in the resurrection. If you're a believer today, say thank God for revealing truth to you, and say thank God that you believe in Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how Paul, by the Holy Spirit, taught about this great truth, how one day living and the dead will be transformed in the presence of God forever. I love going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read it for you this morning. We're getting pretty close to conclusion, but we still have another hour to go. Is that okay? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, did you miss me, Louise and John? Did you miss me? Amen. We missed you too. Amen. Good to be back. Hallelujah. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal..." Anybody know what mortal is? Dead. "And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?' The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah! Because there is a resurrection. Praise God. You know, how do you get the resurrection? How could you ever come to the place? You know, I read this verse of Scripture the last 2 weeks, John chapter 6, verse 44. Remember what it said? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Remember that? And then kind of tagged on with that verse, and I will raise him up on the last day. Isn't that beautiful? Not only he's saying how the Father draws us to the place of salvation, but Jesus says, and I'm going to raise you up on that last day. Hallelujah. He's going to raise each and every one of us who are believers up on that last day. And then you go to John chapter 6, that we have the faith in Christ. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is going to raise us up. And then you get to John chapter 6, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I think this is getting across to us, don't you? That God's going to raise us up in the last day. Well, how are the dead raised? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. If you were to go to 1 Thessalonians, you would find this is really powerful, that he is risen. He's risen indeed. If you were to go to 1 Thessalonians, read there. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You want to know how this is going to happen, how you're going to be raised? With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, it's a call to believers all around the world when Jesus comes back. He's calling. There's a summons. Not the summons like you would get to go to court, but there's a call. There's a call. God's going to shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ going to rise first. And how are they going to go up? By the power of Christ. John chapter 5. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Which one do you want to go to? I think I like to go to the resurrection of life. Then you go over to Romans chapter 8. Holy Spirit gets involved here. I love that, don't you? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And then we're going to have the power of God, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Hallelujah. I love God, don't you? He's such a wonderful God. You know, when you get to some of the things in the Bible, it is so interesting. The more you read them. I love when you get down to 1 Thessalonians, and if the worship team would come, please. It says this. This is kind of like a farewell, a kind of a benediction, I guess, or something that Paul wanted to get across to the church at Thessalonica. But he says this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, isn't he? He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He will do it. It says in Philippians chapter 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So, did you get anything? Are you stirred? Are you blessed? The resurrection power of Jesus. God is good. Amen. He is risen. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, what a wonderful truth. What a glorious truth. That you love us that much, that you sent your Son. And not only did you send him, but you allowed your Son, our Savior, to go through such a terrible time. To go to that cross and the whippings and the beatings, the mocking, the laughter, the abuse that he went through. God, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why didn't you just send Jesus into the world already in his glorified body? That's the way I would have done it if I were God. But Lord, you have so much profound ways over ours. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I thank you, Lord God, that you did it perfectly. Because I believe that looking at the body that was torn apart of Jesus, it drew us. It drew us to the fathomless love that you have for every one of us. It drew us to that place of realizing this is the extent to what you would go to get our attention. This is the very severest thing in the whole wide world, that you would subject your Son to all of this to get us back. God, you must really love us. You must really love us. But God, it didn't end there. So many people in our world say everything stops at the grave. Everything just is finished there. When the heart stops, that's it. Life is over. But God, you showed us that that wasn't it either. That you sent your Son to that tomb. You said, put your Son down in that tomb, his corpse, his body. But yet in 3 days, the glorified body, Jesus, came back to life and showed us the victory over the grave. And he's our leader. And one day we're going to follow him. We're going to follow him all the way into glory. And so, God, I pray this morning that we would be reminded of that and you would rekindle that fire in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here this morning who has never given their heart to you, if they've never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in their heart that you've been risen from the grave, then I pray this morning, Lord, that you would touch them right now as you've already been doing, Holy Spirit. I pray that right now that their heart would be wide open. With every head bowed and every eye closed on this Resurrection Sunday, would there be anybody here this morning that would love to give their hearts to Jesus, confess him as your Lord and Savior, and believe that Jesus was risen from the grave? Anybody like that this morning, just quickly put up your hand and put it down. We're going to pray for you today. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Just quickly put up your hand on this wonderful, glorious Easter Sunday, something you would remember for all your life. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. As we come to this subject of the resurrection, I pray, let it never, ever become just another subject, another study, another part of the Bible. But let it become vibrant. Let it, every time we read that word resurrection in our Bibles, let it release joy, victory into our hearts. Every time we read a verse of Scripture, Lord, let it release into us the joy of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God, I pray, Lord, on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the empty tomb, bring us back to life. Bring us back into the joy of serving you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? I asked the worship team this morning. There's a chorus we used to sing many, many years ago when I first got saved. It just says, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord, and he is Lord. So let's sing it this morning.
He is Lord, oh, he is Lord. And he is Lord.
comes Lord of our marriage, Lord of our families, Lord of our position or success in our workplace and all the things that we put our hand to. Isn't it good when he becomes Lord of our mind, Lord of our heart, Lord of our conversation, Lord of our eyes, Lord of the things that we go through in life, because we can always turn to somebody who is Lord. We can turn to him when he's Lord of those things. So he is Lord. He is Lord. Sing it one more time.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen.
Thank you this day, Lord. I'm sure on this day many family gatherings are happening and things are happening around the home. But God, thank you, Lord, when Jesus is in the home. Thank you when Jesus is in that very place where he needs to be and should be. So thank you, God, on this Resurrection Sunday. Let us rejoice all day long. But let it not just stop because the clock hits midnight tonight, Lord. We rejoice because one day, Lord, it may be on a Monday, it may be on a Tuesday, it may be some other time of the year, but there's going to be a call from heaven. There's going to be a time when the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're looking forward to that great resurrection day, Lord Jesus, when we will see you face to face. Oh, what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see, when we look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace, when he takes us by the hand and leads us over to that promised land. What a day! What a day! What a glorious day that's going to be. So God, we triumph. We take glory. We praise you. We live for you, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He is risen. Amen. God bless you.